We lay plans, but sometimes our plans don't always pan out quite the way we expect them to. Years ago, it's been over 30 years ago, my dad gave me a call and said, you need to come up and get your stuff. I'm selling the home place. What? Okay. So Sally and I loaded up our firstborn. He was just a few months old. Flew to Idaho, and I gathered stuff, sorted it out between my brothers and my sister, and decided who gets what and all that. Rented a trailer, packed it to the full hilt, packed the car, and loaded up and headed out one morning from southwest Idaho back to Lordsburg, New Mexico. Ever heard of Lordsburg? Never heard of it. And so we took off, drove across southern Idaho, hit Nevada, drove all the way down through northern Nevada. This is all in one day. All the way down on fumes, I made it to the next gas station, gassed up, went across Hoover Dam into Arizona, and stopped at Kingman for gas. And I looked at the sun, and it was still high in the sky. And I looked at the map and said, Phoenix is right there. We can make Phoenix tonight and be closer home, not have to drive so far tomorrow. Okay, Sally? Okay. You know how little babies are going. Loaded up, headed across the desert. And it seems like all these other people had the same idea. They wanted to go to Phoenix, too. And the traffic got slower and slower and slower. And we finally got into the edge of Phoenix. Saw a motel, and we didn't have any reservations. So I whipped in there. Still had vacancy sign out. There were two or three other couples ahead of me, and they got their rooms. And I stepped up the desk, and the clerk said, sorry, we're out of rooms. Okay. That's easy. We're in Phoenix. There's more motels in Phoenix, right? Got back in the car and onto the road we went. There's a motel. No vacancy. Another motel. No vacancy. There's a motel down there. I see the lights. Oh, we're going to get there. Where'd the lights go? They must be full. Okay, no problem. There's another motel down the road. All the way through Phoenix. No vacancy. It's now very late at night. I got one eye open with a washer, trying to watch the road. Sally's trying to take care of Aaron, keep him comfortable and calm. And we get to the turnoff for Casa Grande, Arizona. 1 o'clock in the morning. I say, I have got to get some sleep. I pulled off, drove into Casa Grande. They didn't have any motels on the edge of town. Drove clear down into the center of town. Finally saw a motel. Vacancy. Thank you, Lord. Pulled in. It was old. Lights were kind of flickering. They had one room available. I took it. We stepped in, and the bed was one of those. And I could have sworn I heard some scurrying little feet of other visitors in the room, but I didn't care. I dropped on that bed and I was out. Sally didn't sleep most of the night, but I didn't care. I was beat. Well, that's my story and I'm sticking with it. Sally may have a different one. But sometimes our plans don't work out, do they? As we go through life, we should be reading Scripture. And Scripture warns us that most people will have a similar story regarding their life. First, when the opportunity is presented to them to receive eternal life in Jesus Christ, they said, I don't need it right now. I'll go on to other opportunities, right? And they keep going down their road of life. And then sometimes troubles will pop up. And where do people turn when troubles pop up? Usually to a friend. Or to the doctor. Sometimes to God. And God invites them into His office to try to help them. But then, how long does that last? Some people begin walking the path with Jesus Christ, but they don't keep their commitment. They decide, you know, it looks a whole lot nicer out there than in here. I think I'm going to move on, go down the road of life a little bit further, and see what else I can find. Unfortunately, we too often neglect the warnings like we find in the chapters 23 and 24 of 2 Kings and previous chapters. We're studying that right now. The demise, the destruction, the end, the gasping breath of the nation of Israel. Or Hebrews chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6, the warning after warning after warning after warning. To keep our eyes on God. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have rest. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to provide for us in all things. Yes? But do we find yourself or those around us looking for better opportunities? Another vacancy sign somewhere down the road that will meet their needs better instead of turning in and finding the blessings of Jesus. I hope that you're not pressing down the road of life without Jesus, that you've told Jesus, no, there's no vacancy in my heart for you. I'm looking for something better. And I hope that a lot of people, when they hear the message, they won't wait too long until Jesus hangs out His sign and says, no vacancy. Let's turn to our scripture. We read this passage last week, but I wanted to return to it regarding this thought of no vacancy. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 13 tells us these words, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of the Lord, the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning? And the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to this passage once again, we just pray that You will continue to guide us in further truth and understanding, that we would grow in commitment to serve and honor You through Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Lord, the promised One, the One who is returning again in power and glory and majesty. Father, let us be prepared. And Father, help us to prepare others to get their lives in order, to make sure that they're walking in Jesus' path so that they may have eternal life as well. Father, lead us and guide us in this time. Motivate us, spur us on to further commitment to You, understanding Your truths, devotion to pass the word on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in this passage that God invites us to live for Him when? Right now. God invites us to live with Him now. God doesn't want us to wait. He wants us now. Verse 9 tells us that God patiently waits for a short period of time. God has been waiting for each of us, for every person in this world to come to know Him. Jesus is preparing what for us? An eternal home. I love the old gospel hymn, the chorus, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Any of you remember that song? Some of you old timers? There's a lot of other great songs that talk about what God has prepared for us, that Jesus is preparing for us. He is getting a home ready for us so that we can live with Him. The Apostle John recorded for us, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for" who? "For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus, God, want us to live with Him. He wants to restore the relationship that was lost back in the Garden of Eden. He wants us to be with Him face to face. God's patience is great. We understand that Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it tells us that in that passage, God gave humanity 120 years before the flood. That's my understanding. Maybe you have a different understanding. But God patiently waited before He finally pulled the plug on the rains of heaven and from the oceans, the fountains of the deep, and flooded the earth. 120 years for people to change their mind, change their ways. And we are told in by Peter that what was Noah doing as he was constructing the ark? He was preaching, warning people. Why in the world are you building such a great big boat? There's a flood coming. You're going to die if you don't get on the boat. How many people survived? Only 8. In 120 years, he only had 8 converts. Himself, his wife, 3 boys, and their wives. We've mentioned it before in different studies. What happened to his aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, neighbors, friends? They all perished because they didn't listen. For 120 years, God waited. And nobody responded except for Noah and his family. Genesis chapter 18 records Abraham negotiating with God for the lives of the people of Sodom. His nephew was down in that city, and Abraham didn't want to lose Lot. He didn't want Lot and his family to die. And Abraham begins negotiating with God, and God said, no, I won't destroy the city if there's 50. How about 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? If I find 10 people that are righteous in Sodom, I won't destroy it, God said. And so off go the angels. They walk into the city. Lot takes them into his house. That night, a lot of things happen. But one of the things that he does is he goes out and sends word to the future husbands, the future son-in-laws. Come with us. God is going to destroy the city. Did they listen? No. Next morning, the angels hurrying them out of the city. 4 of them leave, but only how many make it? 3. Lot's wife looks back. Only 3 made it. In the patience of God. Jonah warned Nineveh for 3 days, walking through the entire expanse of the city. It took him 3 days to walk through, warning the people that God is going to destroy this city in 40 days. Repent or perish. What did they do? They immediately repented. Amazing! Immediately! And to me, it's kind of a funny story, even though it's very serious. Starting with the king on down through the lowest of people, they all repented, dressed in sackcloth, and they even dressed their animals in sackcloth. They were serious. They did not want God's curse. And God spared the heathen city of Nineveh for a time, about 120 years. God's word has been proclaimed in America. Since the very first European settlers came into this country, they have carried the gospel message into America with them. Columbus on down. Now, a lot of people say, well, look at all the bad stuff they did. But overall, The majority of the settlers brought the gospel with them, and it has been preached throughout America since the beginning of the settling of the European, us immigrants. Okay? We've been surrounded by God's word and God's servants for me my entire life. My parents were believers, took me to church every week. I was even in church through the week while all the rest of the people are out working because my mom was a church secretary. I got the privilege of helping mom at the office many, many times. How many times have we heard the stories of the gospel, the scriptures, over and over again? How many church bells have rung? How many churches are down the streets trying to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with the world? But is America listening? How long will God put up with our neglect as a nation, our disobedience? Friends, I'm concerned for our nation. We're thumbing our nose at God as a nation. Pray for our nation. We need to do our part to share the message. There's a flood coming. Well, no, not a flood. What is it? Fire! The end is coming. Wake up, brothers. Wake up, friends. Paul quotes a warning from Isaiah in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. God says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When does God want us? Now. He wants us now. He warns us now. God gives his life for us to serve him now. Jesus came for us to serve him now. When Jesus called the 12 apostles, they immediately left everything to serve him. When the church began, the immediate response was about 3,000 believers on the very first day of the church. Man, that would be fantastic. I think I'd pass out if I had 3,000 people come forward during service. What is the response of our nation? Where is everybody? Are the churches full? Look around you. What a stupid question, David. Our nation is turning its back. But we must press on. We must still be a witness. We must still encourage the people around us. Destruction is coming. Get ready now. Don't wait. The Ethiopian immediately obeyed in the middle of the wilderness. The Philippian jailer believed in the middle of the night and obeyed the commands of Jesus Christ. When God speaks to us, he expects our immediate obedience. Kind of like the drill sergeant commanding his soldiers. If he says jump, you say, how high as you're jumping? Do we jump when the Almighty calls our name, when he speaks to us? God invites you to live for him now. And if you're putting it off, if you go out of this building and put on your other suit, your other face in front of the crowd, friends, God's watching. He wants you to serve him now. When does now end? Never. God's patience will end. Verse 10 tells us, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, the idea behind that is suddenly, when we are least expecting it. It is not that God is taking anything, stealing anything from us like a thief steals. The idea is that he comes suddenly. After all, who owns everything? God owns it all. We are here just borrowing. We are tenants borrowing from his air. We're borrowing his food. We're borrowing his earth to live on. We are even borrowing his very life. And so God expects us to live for him. He made us to live for him. God is patient, forgiving, and yet he is also just. He is righteous. He is pure. He will not put up with corruption. People who continually turn away from him will find no mercy, no vacancy. Just as God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he has assured us that he is going to destroy what? The entire earth. The entire universe. We can't go to Mars to get away from this, friends. We can't go find another planet in the universe. It's all going to be gone. The entire creation, because of our sin, is polluted and corrupted, and God is going to destroy it all and start with new heavens and a new earth. Those who warn about global warming, they don't understand the reason or the magnitude. Yes, there's going to be a global warming. There's going to be a universal warming. But it's because of our sin. Not because you drove the wrong car or did something else. Sin is what causes us to burn. Stephen tried to convince the leaders of Israel of the lordship of Jesus Christ after they had already seen his tomb empty, received the reports of the soldiers. Did they believe? No. They had their minds stuck on their corruption. Stephen tried the shock and reality check method. If you go back and read Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he said, he was right in their face. He said, you murdered our Messiah. You hung him on the cross. You buried him. But where is he? He's alive. He escaped the tomb. Did they listen? They refused to hear. Just as their ancestors refused to reason and ended up in Babylonian captivity. Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem in the years to come. Were they listening? No, they stayed right there. We've got everything under control. We've got this special deal with the Romans. AD 70, the Romans said, we've had it with you guys, and wiped Jerusalem off the map. Corrupt hearts of individuals lead them to self-destruct and God's final condemnation. Read the warnings. Read the path designed. Romans chapter 1 warns us of the spiral away from God into corruption if we turn our back on God. And guess who's over on the sidelines cheering us on? Satan loves it when we sin. Satan loves it. And he cheers us on to destroy ourselves. He is called the destroyer. He's out there. And if you're getting encouraged to do wrong, remember where it's coming from. It's not from God. It's from Satan, who hates you and wants you to die. But he'll gladly help you on your way. He'll help you defy God. He'll tell you so many stories, so many lies, half-truths. He'll deceive you if you're not alert. God's patience with the corrupt will end. The no vacancy sign in heaven will be hung. Are you ready for that day? God calls us to holy living now. Not just living for him, but holy living. There is vacancy in heaven right now. We are to guard against false teachers and evil spirits, the scripture tells us. Evil spirits are real. And people will fall for them. You may be falling for them. I've listed several scriptures there for you to look up and read, study, examine. We are to fill our thoughts and our life with God's word and to be open to the help of his Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own, so God has given us help. The Holy Spirit. We are to take care of our physical body too, as much as we possibly can, but not to worship this body. How long is this body going to last? Only a few years. But we need to take care of it because we're not the only one living in it. Who else is living in this body? When we give our life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And he likes a clean house. He likes a clean house. He likes the bed made. He likes the dishes washed. He likes the thoughts pure. He likes us to live in a way that will continue to honor God, but we are not to worship this body. And so that kind of puts us in kind of a quandary. How do we take care of this body the best we can and still keep God in first place? I don't have all the answers, but you know, it's very interesting. If we read the Old Testament law, within that law, there's a lot of things it talks about: washing hands, distancing sick people. Our medical field has followed those directions, sometimes overboard, in my opinion. But moving along, there are certain things that we can learn. And yet the scripture warns us to not become legalistic. The book of Galatians talks about this. Don't let others tell you what you can or cannot eat or drink. So we have to be careful as we get into that area of our life. But remember, is what you're doing pleasing to God? Is it honoring to God? Does it lift up God? Those are kind of some basic rules, some guidelines. Whatever we do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. Is what we choose to do honoring God? Does it lift up God? Does it bless God? Another factor is that we need to continue to do is meet together. The meeting of the church is important. It is vital. It is critical. We need to meet with fellow believers, and it's not just Sunday morning. It's whenever we get the opportunity. We see that the early church, if you read the book of Acts, at the opening, they met every day. They were excited about getting together with the family, the spiritual family, the heavenly family. Are we excited about getting together with other believers? People that are going to the same place we're going to go? Right? Hebrews chapter 10 actually commands us to not forsake the gathering. Anytime the church is meeting as a group, if at all possible, we should try to be there. Hopefully we do it because we love God and we love our family. I love you. Do you love me? I'll pay you later, okay? No, it needs to come from the heart, right? Sincerity. We want to be together because we're family and we're going to spend eternity together. We should not be the Lone Ranger Christians, but we are part of the body of Christ. Needing each other, helping each other, encouraging each other, holding each other accountable to make sure we're all walking in the right path with Jesus. All done in love, with the love of God and love for one another. God wants all of us to live a holy, dedicated, focused life that honors Him. When does He want that? Now. Fools continually and willfully live in sin. We talked about fools last week, and yes, it's here again. It's very foolish when we have all of the answers, all the truth, and choose to do the opposite. But fools continually and willfully live in sin. Jesus teaches us to love God with our entire being. The phrase, heart, soul, mind, and strength in the book of Mark. To love those around us as ourself. Right? What would I do if I were in your shoes? What would you do if you were in my shoes? How can I help my brothers, my sisters live faithfully? Another thing that we are warned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it warns us to put all of our love in God, not in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. If we keep focusing on the world, the things of the world, where is it going to be in a few years? It's going to be gone, burned up. We've been invested in the wrong thing. We talked about that last week. Intentionally sinning is becoming like a dog that is licking up its own vomit. the scripture tells us. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I didn't put a picture up there. But that's what the scripture says going back to sin is like. Or the other one is, which I did for a lot of years, washing pigs and watching them do what? Go right back to the mud hole. Has God cleaned you up? Stay clean. Has God given you a good life? Don't go back to the rottenness. Choose righteousness. Live in a way that pleases and honors Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6 warns us that it is impossible for those who fall away from God's salvation to return. What is the word? Impossible. Oh, I'll just live for God a few days now, and I'm going to go off and do my own thing, and then I'll just come back to church then later. I'll start worshiping God again later. What guarantee do we have for later? Nothing. And do you think God is very happy with us when we say, oh, yeah, I love you today, but then go off and do everything wrong and come back to Him and says, you can just forget about that, God. Who's in control? We're not. And God does not like it when we keep oscillating back and forth, back and forth. Remember the warning. It is impossible for those who fall away from God to receive His salvation. They sealed their own fate. Let's don't be like one of them. Let's don't be a fool. Let's keep our focus. Romans chapter 6, the first 11 verses, teaches that the true believers do what with sin? We die to sin. And we are raised to walk in Jesus Christ, made new creatures through the power of God, and it takes place, according to Romans chapter 6, when we are baptized into Christ, when we are believers, repentant, trying to live for Him, we obey His command, and God does, we talked about this last week, a circumcision. He cuts away the sin. The sin is buried. We are made clean. But we have to be obedient to the commands of Christ. And then He helps us. He sends in who again? The Holy Spirit to help us stay on track. Are we going to live perfectly? No. We live in a sinful world, but God promises that if we confess our sin, He is willing to forgive us if we aren't making it a practice, if we're not loving sin. Love God. Serve God. Keep your focus on Him. Paul warns us, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How do you grieve somebody? God's Spirit lives in us, and He can be ignored. There's a song I used to sing. I hear the Spirit speaking to me in a whisper. And what do? I ignore His voice. You've seen the comedy, the pictures, angel on one side, the devil on the other. Which one are you listening to? Well, it's not an angel, it's the Holy Spirit. He is trying to convince us to live for Him. Don't grieve the Spirit by neglecting Him, not doing what is right, choosing evil instead. Not only do we have that warning, but we also have the warning from Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 is do not quench the Spirit. I loved to go out camping, especially when I was little. My mom and dad took us, our family, out as part of our vacation to camp out in the mountains by a mountain stream, and everything was beautiful. And one of my jobs became to take care of the fire. It was my job to go collect firewood, cut the wood, make the fire, and I was a fire bug. Just look out, folks, okay? But I also was responsible for putting the fire out at the right times. And there are several ways you can put out a fire. You can go down to the river and get bucket after bucket and just keep throwing it on. Or you can get one bucket, and you can actually put a fire out a handful at a time. A little at a time. A little at a time. Stir it up a little bit more. You can slowly, gradually, put out a fire. You can put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. A little at a time. Little at a time. Little at a time. No, I'm not going to do that today. No, I'm not going to do that today. Not going to do it today. And what happens to the fire of the Holy Spirit? What happens to the motivation, the Spirit trying to talk to us? Pretty soon he says, you're not listening. You're not listening. You have put up the no vacancy sign. And one of the worst things we could do is blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is called the unforgivable sin. To speak irreverently about the Holy Spirit, to mock the power of the Holy Spirit, to discredit the work of the Holy Spirit, to revile or to curse God's Spirit. Boy, what are you thinking? God living within you. During the life of Jesus, this is what was taking place. Jesus was performing miracles. And the enemies of Jesus, who were serving Satan, did not give the credit to God, did not give the credit of the power of Jesus to the Holy Spirit. They said, Jesus has an evil spirit in him. He does it by the power of Satan. What do you think the Holy Spirit thought about that? If the Jews who claim to be God's people refuse to acknowledge the goodness that he was doing through the Messiah, they sealed their fate. They were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. As we see good things happen around us, let's be careful that we don't discredit the work of the Holy Spirit. And I mean truly righteous things. It may be people in a different church, a different group that are doing God's work. We need to be careful that we don't blaspheme the Spirit of God. Don't be a fool and willfully participate in sin. Multitudes of people are trying to live without Jesus. They're driving down the road of life. Jesus has the vacancy sign out right now. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you what? Rest. Do you want rest? Stop in. Try Jesus. Devote yourself to Jesus. One of the major pictures that has shown up in time is the picture of Jesus standing outside knocking on a door. Have any of you seen that picture? You know what? That passage, that picture comes from a passage out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. And it is not Jesus standing outside of a heathen's house or a heathen's heart. It's Jesus standing on the outside of a so-called believer's heart. Jesus was writing to the church at Laodicea, and they had become lukewarm in their faith. They had stopped serving Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, you're lukewarm. You better get hot. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to do what? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Get hot with serving me. How hot are you in serving Jesus? How devoted are you? You know where you stand with God. I'm not going to, if you ask me, I'll try to help. But you have to figure this out between you and God, you and Jesus. Are you devoted, no matter what the cost? Don't let Jesus stand on the outside of your heart. Sorry, no vacancy. I'm too busy. Who is it? It's Jesus. I'll see you next week. Do you have next week? Do you have tomorrow? Do you have this afternoon? Do you have the next 5 minutes? Only if he gives it to you. He's coming back, and we need to be ready. Don't wait too long. Serve Jesus. When? Now. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have vacancy sign open right now. And Father, help us to be true to you, to live for you, to not delay, but to truly devote ourselves to whatever you would want us to do. And our devotion to you can be in our work, and it can be in our family, it can be in our neighborhood, it can be in special, what we would call special commitments, devoting ourselves to something out of the ordinary, but wherever you are calling us, whatever you call us to, Father, I pray that we will answer immediately and glorify you. Let us not be found with a no vacancy in your face. And Father, I pray that we'll not wait too long and find that the door of heaven has been closed in our face. Let us be your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.